The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Make this fast because John has a tee time and Lance has more NFL work to do. From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can have a change of heart in sports. It just, and oh, by the way, the MVP trophy was there. Was at the parade because Nikola Jokic had it on his float. He had it, so he didn't lose it. So maybe you were right about that. It's just he's just trying to, I don't know. Yeah.
I think he's leaning into all this stuff.
Yeah, he's leaning into that. But he did say he just wanted to go home. He didn't like parades. Well, he had a change of heart. Here is Nikola Jokic.
He's never been in a parade. Probably.
He's never been in a parade before.
He's never been the center of attention.
No, like that. He didn't seem like he likes being the center of attention.
No.
But he liked it yesterday.
Thank you, though. You know that I told that I don't want to stay on parade, but I want to stay on parade. This is the best. this is amazing. This is...
That is all. He
this
dropped the F-bomb.
This is amazing, he said.
I bleeping want to stay on parade, he said, dropping an F-bomb. But he wasn't the – Mike Malone was a little – he was – was it like Sark? Was it – because I didn't see it.
Dude, you got to pull up. No. Well, like Sark.
Remember Sark at USC? He was – remember how he was wasted? Remember Sark, how wasted he was?
I remember how wasted Brian Brown was.
Yeah. So Mike Malone, he wants to run this back, only he said it a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
Is Brucey B going anywhere? Hell no. Hell no. Hell no. Hey, we running this back. We running this back. Hell yeah. Come on. Get loud. Get loud.
Get loud. Get loud. If you see him, too, people on TikTok were calling him Paul Wall. Damn, Paul Wall took over the Nuggets.
That is funny. He was wasted. So.
Oh, this, yeah. Michael Malone was.
Yeah. That's fun. That's good. We didn't have anybody wasted at our Astros parade, did we? No.
Sure we did.
Well, but I don't remember any.
No, because we're classy.
Yeah, we do things classy. There's no question about that. We are classy. 713-780-3776, live at East River 9. We got the now, you were pissed, RJ, about the Lakers thing?
I mean, they were talking about the list. Like Vic Lombardi at the parade, and we have the sound clip of this, Sean, if you want to get it. You swept the Lakers. You're NBA champions. However, he had some shots to throw at LA. Sean, if you please, with Vic Lombardi.
He came into this world as the son of a coach, but in these playoffs, he became the Lakers' daddy.
Yeah! Yeah!
and doesn't stop there, because Mike Malone then goes on Pat McAfee's show and has a special announcement to the NBA as well as the Denver Nuggets fans that this is his last go-around. He is going to finish his career undefeated in the NBA Finals.
Well, a really good question. And speaking of the Lakers, I just want you guys to know this is breaking news. I'm thinking about retiring, so don't tell anybody. Yeah.
You love yes. the house, Coach. You love yes. that. Coach, let's take the conversation away from the championship. Let's talk about the coach retiring. Yes. Hey, you hated it, huh? Okay, good, good. I'm happy to hear
good.
That.
Good.
You're a human. Right
only kidding. Only kidding. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I don't want the Kroenke family hearing that, trying to find a new coach. I'm not going anywhere.
Hey, what?
That is funny.
Have you ever seen Mr. White, folks?
Yeah.
You did, back in the day.
Yeah, back in from the
Pimps Up
Players Hotel. Ball.
Yeah. You know you can't find that anymore on HBO. You can look at all the HBO Max or Max you want.
Really?
They've taken it down, but your boy's got the DVD. So it's too late, HBO. You can't stop me. Mr. White, folks. Sean, see if you can find any video of Mr. White. Well, it's not the most... You won't see him cussing, but, well, some he
no.
does. But it's not the most respectful video.
No, you won't see
video.
Mr. White folks cussing?
Mr. White folks was, well, okay, so Art said, was that Mr. White folks?
Yeah.
Or Mike Malone? So, I don't know how to explain it. Mr. White folks was a white pimp.
Yeah.
And he was at the Players Ball. And there was the HBO documentary, like, in 99 that they did called Pimps Up, Hose Down. And it was, they had... I mean, I can recite this by – I watched it probably at least 17, 18 times. Big Lex, I know her. She was a pimp. Of course, oh, man, how am I – well, Bishop Don Magic Juan, that's where people learn about him. There was like five of them, and Mr. White folks was one of them. And you see this guy, and he's like – I couldn't unsee it. It was mesmerizing. It was like Dr. Detroit but come to life. And it was, and he, that's why Art just, I don't know what I want to do with this. Like, Art just mentioned Mr. White folks, and now I'm all frazzled because I kind of want people to know about Mr. White folks because he was one of the, it's like a train crash that you can't turn away from this. You have to look. You have to rubberneck and look at Mr. White folks, especially when he's saying his little phrases. All these guys are basically just showing out for a camera. And then they go to something called the Players Ball.
Yeah.
Just like we saw from, you know, Dr. Detroit, a movie years and years ago. And there's an actual Players Ball. I don't even know if I should even be talking about this.
He was in the white tuxedo, right?
Or was that? Where he was doing this with his tie. I know the whole, like, I know every second of it. I don't think he was in a white tuxedo. I know he was in a yellow trench coat at one point, but he might have been in a white tuxedo. And his tie, if I remember correct, had dollar bills on it, and he wore a hat. And Mr. White, folks, I've Googled him. I've gone down massive rabbit holes. Like, did he die? What happened to Mr. White, folks? You can't find anything on Mr. White, folks. It's extremely hard to find anything. I don't know that that was his given name, like – I don't know if that was his birth name.
Apparently, HBO is none too isn't very proud of the. No.
Yeah, it's a pimp movie.
Yeah, right.
Kind of glorified the pimp life in some way. So,
and?
Yeah, maybe HBO said, you know what?
And?
In this day and age, maybe we don't want to have this in our vaults. Let's take this one out of the vaults. So, HBO took it out of the vaults.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, we can't change history. All right, Mr. White folks is part of history.
I learned about reckless eyeballing.
That's right.
From him.
Well, his girlfriend was.
Well, wasn't his girlfriend.
It was
one of his girls.
One of his girls.
I learned about the track. I learned a
she
lot
was
of stuff.
Reckless eyeballing.
Well, it's not one of his girls. You're just not supposed to reckless eyeball the pimping.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, you guess like it's kind of a. It's like one of the unwritten rules of baseball. You don't reckless eyeball. You're supposed to keep your eyes down. I learned a lot of things probably that society thinks, yeah, you really shouldn't be learning that. That's not a good thing. But I learned it on HBO.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you. I watch you put it on TV, I learn. That's all I'm here to tell you. And I knew that there's some unwritten rules of the pimping. That's just what I know. I haven't put them into use. I don't condone them, but I know some of the rules.
No. It's good to know.
I learned the phrase barbecue or mildew. you know? It means you got to do something or you're going to get old. Yeah.
Poop or get off the pot.
It's kind of like that. Only like say that. Barbecue or mildew.
This segment brought to you by Damaris Barbecue's famous Hoffie Burger, layered with all the good stuff, topped with an onion ring created by Mr. Ken Hoffman. Put Hoffie in your mouth today at Damaris Barbecue, either location. It is a great burger, by the way. It is a great burger. 713-780-3776, live. We are live at East River 9, and we want you to come on by. We're celebrating the U.S. Open. We're celebrating the par 3 here on a beautiful morning here in the city of Houston. If you've never seen this backdrop, you need to come. You're teeing off number one with the entire downtown. You can see the top of Minute Maid and all of downtown behind it. At night, it is perfect because the ball flies in the air with all the lights of downtown. It is just gorgeous. If you've never been here, that's right, it's a lighted par three, so you can play at night. If you can't get here during the day because you ain't going to work, I can't do it. You can come here at night, and you can play here at East River 9, a full bar, sports bar, perfect. The food is great. The food is really, really good here. So if you're looking for something, if you're near downtown or you want to come on over here, let's go. It is just a great, great place to be, and we're going to be here all day long. All the shows are right up until 7 o'clock here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Taking one here, Glenn Davis is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about this USMNT stuff going on. When we come back, we got to get this sound from Rob Manfred talking about A's fans. And boy, are they pissed. And oh well, A's fans, go to a game other than one day a year. And then maybe you'd keep your teams. Maybe one of your teams would stay, Oakland, if you actually showed up for games. Right now, though, I'm talking about Doc Linville. Him showing up for me. He showed up for me when I needed hair, and I got hair. I'm telling you, my hair, it was so bad. I was mangy. I had all these holes in my head. He said, we'll fill in here. I was in the chair for about 4 hours. Fred was in the chair, I think, a good 8 hours and worked that same day. I did mine on Friday. I was back at work on Monday. Now he's got a three-day anesthetic where you're not going to feel anything all weekend long because, I mean, what little pain there was or what little discomfort that there was, it really was gone in just a couple of days. Now it's a three-day anesthetic where you're not feeling much of anything. So this is something that's well worth it, guys. If you've never seen the neo grafting, it's way different than they used to do with cutting and how painful and bloody it was. This is a whole different system. It's so much better. He's getting unbelievable results. You need to see if this is for you at 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
The summer circuit rolls on from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9. Here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is Oakland America's worst sports city?
Kind of feel like it's unfair, but
why is it unfair?
They had
the Raiders, lost the Raiders, got the Raiders back, lost the Raiders again.
Do they have the money to – well, number one, I don't think – like, are you a bad
– right now,
sports, salaries, everything goes sky high, right? In all the sports, they've gone high so fast because of TV deals that it supersedes the growth of regular people's salaries, right? So you're in the West Coast. You're already paying – huge tax numbers. And even Oakland has become more gentrified, and it's more expensive to live there. The price for a ticket has gotten extremely high across most sports. You know, it's much more expensive. Maybe not baseball as much, but I just think you kind of priced Oakland out of it because the Oakland Raiders used to be great. They used to be great fans there.
They showed up.
I think, but
it was the stadium that they couldn't build a stadium for them. Golden
State fans showed up too, but they needed a new stadium.
They needed a new stadium.
And I don't think Oakland can afford it.
But
I don't think Oakland can afford it. That's the thing is I don't think Oakland has the wherewithal to afford it. I don't think they could afford the new stadium. They all went to the games. There's a lot of tech money going to the games for Golden State, and they're hot. They're a hot team, so you want to support them. There was a time where a lot of people were going to the A's games for years.
Oh, yeah, well.
But I don't think it's I think the financials have knocked Oakland out of the mix now.
Yeah. No. Well, obviously, if you can't, they couldn't afford it. They didn't show up for games.
A lot of people moving there, by the way, who are not lifelong fans of Oakland sports. A lot of people who can't afford to live in San Francisco, who is everybody. You know, a lot of them have moved to Oakland, and they're not fans. They moved into San Francisco. The same way there's going to be people in Austin who are not lifelong Longhorn fans. Trust me. They're going to be from California and other cities.
Oh, no. A lot of Austin people are moving here. But they
are they really?
Yeah.
Because it's just too expensive there.
Well, they don't want to live in California. They want to move.
No, you said Austin.
That's what I said. They don't want to live in California. They want to live in Texas, so they're moving here to Houston. So the Raiders left. Actually, the Warriors left. They're in San Francisco now, and now the A's are leaving. And if you, the truth be told, the A's have been it's been a disaster for them. They couldn't compete. Billy Beane, if it wasn't for Billy Beane, this organization would have been just garbage for years and years and years that they ever competed. And they were just actually a farm system for most teams for years now. I mean, the Johnny Damons and the Miguel Tejadas and all of those guys. As soon as their contracts came up, they left.
But you're also battling against San Francisco fans, so. When I was offered a radio job in San Francisco, it was for the station that had the A's. And I asked, I'm like, I don't know, like, what do you – because we're coming off a time where I hadn't even been talking about baseball for a few years because the Astros literally no one ever called. Mm-hmm. No one ever talked to Astros baseball. I said, how big is baseball? You know, because Warriors are a ton of Warrior stuff. The 49ers were big. Raider talk, you know, you got a lot of that. And they said, oh, man, baseball's the biggest. They said of all of them, the Giants, because Giants were really good with Mad Bum at that time.
Oh yeah, they went three out of 5 years.
Everything's Giants baseball. We're the home, we're the station of the A's, but you really got to know a lot of Giants too, because I think the A's eventually. And when you always give, look, this is Major League Baseball's fault to an extent too. When you have a situation set up, you're uncapped, you have no parity. Eventually. Teams fall off the grid. Yeah. Eventually, a team's going to fall off the grid, and that's the A's. They couldn't afford to. They have to give away their top players, you know, from a financial standpoint, unless they want to pay them and keep losing money. If you're not winning, people aren't going to come out there. You had a lot of things work against the A's. I always hate just saying it's a bad. I think there's more to the discussion than Oakland just being a bad sports town. But it is what it is. They've lost all three teams. They've lost because now – the A's are getting ready to go to Las Vegas. And Rob Manfred, did you see Manfred's comments?
Yeah. So
Rob Manfred's throwing daggers at him.
So he started with, I feel sorry for the fans in Oakland. I think the real question is that what was it that Oakland was prepared to do? They never got to a point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site. And it's not just A's owner John Fisher. The community has to provide support. And at some point you come to the realization it's not going to happen. They did have their reverse boycott, where 28,000 fans showed up at the game.
It was pretty cool.
And in the top of the fifth inning, they were silent for the first batter. The crowd was, and then they started. The second batter came up, and they started chanting, "Sell the team, sell the team." Mm-hmm. Well, when asked about, Rob Manfred was asked about that 28,000 fans for the reverse boycott. Here's what Rob Manfred had to say.
You know, I mean, it was great. It's great to see what is this year, you know, almost an average Major League Baseball crowd in the facility for one night. That's a great thing.
Just, you want to talk about
the backhanded compliment. It was cool to see
almost an average.
Hey, you
Major
almost. It's like telling your son, hey, notice I said son. Hey, you almost got a B.
Good for you.
Atta boy.
So, Levi.
You almost passed.
Levi Weaver, one of the coolest, most inspirational fan moments in league history. We'll be talking about it forever. Emotions are extremely high, and a pillar of the community is being ripped away. And Manfred says, oh, totally great to see them almost hit league average. Is this? The A's showing up with 28,000 people is one of the great moments, fan moments in league history. Mm. Okay, Levi, step away from the mirror, pal. Okay, It's an almost an average major league crowd. Listen,
almost. Yeah.
Listen, it is going to be such a huge success in Las Vegas. You look at ticket price. It's going to be a huge success, even if it is mostly all visiting teams, because we take one trip. Every team is going to take a trip to Vegas. Every team or. You know, your team will go there once every other year.
Mm-hmm.
So with all those fan bases, what road trip are we going to take? It's going to be Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Casinos are going to have those tickets for their people. They're going to be selling. They're going to sell out a lot of games that normally they wouldn't sell out, even if it is the opposing fans. Oh well. It is going to be an event in Vegas having Major League Baseball there. And it's going to be near the Strip, right there on the Strip.
Well, we've seen, I know one of the owners at Riel Restaurant. She goes all the time. I don't know if she still dates. I don't know if she still dates a guy, but she dated a guy who was, a casino host out there. Maybe that's what he does. Anyway, she'd go to Raider games. She invited me out to one of the Raider games. And it's in the end zone, the seats, and it's packed. Like, it's a huge party there.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas, it's a party. But it's a huge party there. And I'm not sure it's always going to be tied to how successful the team is, which is good.
No.
Which is good.
You've got a built-in road fan base that's going to be there for all football, forget about it. That's going to be packed every game.
I don't want road fan base, so if I'm the football team.
I know, but
it's not
But
bad.
If I'm the owner, I want to sell tickets.
Yeah, but LA
as
fans,
opposed to Oakland.
LA fans can go, too.
Yeah.
LA fans can go too. That's not a bad. That's a drive. You just drive. You can drive from LA to Las Vegas.
Oh, absolutely.
It's doable. So you could also say, hey, we're season ticket holders. We're going to 8 games a year. We're going to 9 games.
Well,
you can't buy
season tickets unless you're a Vegas resident.
Oh, that's right.
You can't buy them.
That's right. Not even for long standing. What about previous season ticket holders? You don't think they kept that open for them?
Hell no. They got you because they were going to be such a. Listen, the tickets are gone. Those tickets are sold. The casinos own them. The Vegas owns them. They are not. And you know what? I would have loved to have bought season tickets to the Raiders because you could sell them every single game for you know how much profit you're going to make.
Casino hosts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting them for whales
absolutely.
And stuff. Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. Glenn Davis is joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk about this. Greg Berhalter and El Tree and the win last night and those horrible El Tree fans and what they say, the ugly things that they say.
They say ugly things.
They say ugly things, and we do not condone it.
We don't condone ugly things.
You know what we condone here? Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing. That's what we condone here. We love Billy Brown. We love what Aqueduct Plumbing does. We love that they're going to be there for you. Put this number in your phone, 281-488-6238.
How about Art yesterday? We had Haley, one of the interns. She came out. She was late every day to school, every day to her senior year of school, every day in college, right? At Auburn. And Art said, why didn't she, has she ever considered becoming a plumber? Well, not at Aqueduct Plumbing Company,
no.
She hasn't, because they won't hire her.
They won't hire her.
They won't hire her. She's
late.
Always late.
Well,
that's not what they do. They get there on time early, they diagnose early, and you know, when you call their. You know what? We got a spot open on Thursday. We'll get there in 2 or 3 days.
No, I got an emergency. I got a leak. I need you here now. And you know what, Aqueduct Plumbing? Johnny on the spot. They're going to be there. Billy on the spot. That's what they're going to do. They're going to be there for you when you have a problem. When you need a plumber, you want somebody you can trust.
They
and
plumb.
That's Aqueduct Plumbing.
They plumb.
281-488-6238.
So John Daspit has been expanding. Well, he started, I think his first office is here in Houston, and he's got now 10 offices around the state of Texas, tons of lawyers who work for him. He goes and hires the very best. He was one of the very best, worked at one of the top firms here in Houston, decided he wanted to go out on his own and start helping people who were the underdogs. And what happens, people who are injured at work, people who are injured on the water, people who are injured on the roadways, injured at the workplace, wherever it is. If you've been injured due to someone else's negligence, or there's a group of people who have been injured. John Dasswitz, one of the first numbers that most people call because he's known as the best. He's the biggest here in the city of Houston, and he has an unbelievable win percentage. Most of the time, it never has to go to court, but when it does, you're probably not going to beat him because he understands what you're going through. He understands the billing structure with how you, you know, if you're injured and you can't work, then he makes sure and look out for that. He looks out for your hospital bills. He looks out for your physical therapy, however long that may take, and also your pain and suffering. And John Dasswitz will get you the right settlement, not the one that you're getting squeezed on by the insurance companies. So don't sign anything right away. Call John Dasswitz, call his law firm, and consult with them and see what they say. It's an easy phone number to remember, 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. So whether it's you or someone you know, make sure that you have John Dasswitz's number at the ready. 713-CALL-NOW or visit the website at DasswitzLaw.com.
The summer circuit rolls on from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here at East River 9. Beautiful day for golf. Beautiful day to come on out here. Beautiful day to be in a sports bar. Beautiful day to watch the U.S. Open. Joining us now to talk about what happened last night with USMNT and El Tri, here is our good friend Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, host of Soccer Matters. Glenn, what's up?
Good morning, guys. You guys always add exotic locations. I love it.
Yeah. Let me ask you one question. I need some clarity here. Do you play any golf?
Do I play golf? I get invited a lot, but, you know, doing soccer broadcasts on weekends and stuff, it's kind of shaved off my golfing time. But I do like the sport.
That's embarrassing. Okay, we always make time for golf, but I don't care how hard
you're working. Well, I know you're a legend. He does. When it comes to that, yeah. I know.
Yeah. So let's talk about. Let's start with Greg Berhalter. A little bit surprising because last time we had you on, you didn't feel like Greg Berhalter was going to be the coach. Did it take you by surprise at all that he was named the coach?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I just think because of, you know, all the controversy around it, probably the simplest and safest thing to do would have been to not rehire him. But, you know, look, he should not have lost his job the way he did. I mean, I think if we're being fair here and we use common sense and sensibility, because the parents of a player are pounding the federation for him to be fired and bring up something from the past that was all settled and done, I don't believe that was right what the Reyners did. I thought that was disgraceful. You know, it takes 6 months now with a search firm, which is almost laughable. I mean, when a search firm is brought in these days, you know, that's just to get people and CYA other people so they don't have to make the decision. They can say, well, this is what the search firm told us. Okay, but from the perspective of the soccer community, a lot of people don't like this hiring. If he's rehired and it's 100%, it seems imminent. They do not like it, just like they didn't like it in the World Cup. But I think if we're thinking common sense-wise, your number one player supports Berhalter. That's Christian Pulisic. And we all know when coaches take jobs, they have to have their superstar in their corner. But it's not only him. It's Tim Weah. It's a bunch of players on this team that support him and went through a World Cup. Now, Berhalter, like all of us, we make mistakes. Why would you not maybe want to go with a guy who's been through the World Cup experience already, has maybe made mistakes, has looked at the output of the way he used his players in the first three games and maybe they're fatigued against the Netherlands? There was a lot to learn there. So I can kind of see it from that standpoint without any other clear contenders. Yeah, I think it is a little surprising. I think there is a risk involved in it, and I also think in some ways there isn't a risk.
Yeah, I was you know, surprised because I think a lot of people, and correct me if I'm wrong, Glenn, I think you were one of the people, or I heard another soccer guy say, who's someone who really knows the sport, say, look, he's good with organizational stuff, but maybe from a tactical standpoint, the U.S. might want to go in a different direction. I know that was the argument. No, he didn't have a striker, not one that you really, you know, not enough firepower offensively on the roster. But did it surprise you from that standpoint that tactically you're going to be headed into your next World Cup with the tactically maybe something similar to what you saw last time out?
Well, that's a really good thing you bring up. By the way, let's just remember this. This is the first time we've ever gone to a World Cup and had aggressive teams that were trying to push the tempo of the game and press and play like that. Okay, the first time ever. Okay, we outplayed England doing that. We just didn't get the result, to your point about not having a center forward. What I do think is that playing style can be dangerous in a short tournament if it's all out all the time and your rotation isn't great with guys, you know, like Tyler Adams and all these guys and Pulisic, who were definitely, we saw it on TV, fatigued against the Netherlands in the knockout stage. So that would be something I think you'll, from a tactical perspective, you have to think about in a player rotation standpoint. But we've never been that aggressive in a World Cup before. Come on, who are we kidding ourselves? So he's got to get some credit for that. I don't think there's any question. And what you saw the U.S. do to Mexico last night, totally dismantle them, cut them up like a hot knife to butter. You know, there's a lot of Berhalter in that, too. So I lean either way, but I just don't like the way the guy lost his job. And these kids play for him, and this is the most exciting time in U.S. soccer history when it comes to the U.S. men's national team.
Glenn Davis with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. They cut the game short last night. That chant, that homophobic chant, I just don't think that the Mexican fans are ever going to get rid of that, do you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's just something I try not to focus on this stuff anymore. I mean, it's wrong. We know it's wrong. It's been going on through history. There's no way to stop it. Stop bringing attention to it is my way of kind of thinking about it. But, you know, I don't know if there's a correct answer to it. I don't know how people get brave in groups, right? What can you say? But it's wrong.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Glenn Davis with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 3-0, Glenn. 3-0. I mean, impressive. And Pulisic is a play. He had two of the goals. Is he take a huge step this year? Can he be one of those guys at the World Cup that is a significant difference maker in 26?
Well, he was a difference maker in our last World Cup, if we remember, scored the vital goal to advances. But look, he's had a really rough time in Europe with Chelsea and in and out of lineups and injuries, out of favor, different coaches. Chelsea's been a nightmare. This kid's going through this. So to see him come out in that game last night, it couldn't contain him. He was running through him at will, creating chances. He could have had a hat trick easily. But I think the thing to really focus on here is to see the intensity and the focus on that kid because of the rough year he's had. And if you go back to Jurgen Klinsmann at the national team, when everybody was upset because Klinsmann was telling American players that some of them had to go over to Europe to get hardened and play. And if you remember, there was a big backlash from Don Garber and Major League Soccer. Oh, you can't take our players out of our league. Well, look what it's done. Okay, we've got a deep pool here playing on big clubs from around the world. And that hardening nature, I mean, if Christian Pulisic was in MLS, do you think he wouldn't be in the starting lineup every single game and wouldn't know it? So, you know, what these guys have gone through, it all looks great when it's on TV and the ball's being pushed around and they're playing with this tremendous energy, but it's all the disappointment and the fighting for places in Europe and on bigger teams that makes it all translate to a full national team.
Well, how does this work now with Gio Reyna and his family and the team and Berhalter? Like, how does this work?
Because number one, yeah. Family, get the you-know-what out of the way, okay? I hope I never hear from them two again, and I'm sure a lot of people don't. That's going to be up to Gio Reyna, and that's going to be up to Berhalter, and that is going to be one to put a circle around and keep an eye on. But I think if, you know, we all realize Gio Reyna is a wonderful soccer talent, and you got to hope that can be worked out, and I think it will be.
So he can – you think – all right, your best bet, he's on the 26 team.
Absolutely. I don't think Craig Berhalter would hold it against the kid what his parents
right.
did. I mean, why
no,
would
but
you do
maybe
that?
He'll hold it against him what he did in the last World Cup.
Well, but I think all coaches realize that young guys make mistakes. We all do. Old guys make mistakes too, but young guys, you know, at that phase of their career, and you have to factor in, you know, maybe the level of entitlement that came from a pair of parents.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see.
And by the way, he played behind his center forward last night in Follerin Bolligan, which is a great position for him in the interior of a midfield with two wingers in Pulisic and Weah. It's pretty enticing. The problem was in the World Cup, they wanted to play him out wide, cutting in as an inverted winger, and that's why he didn't get on the field, and he was also injured because he didn't want to take Tim Weah off the field.
Mm-mm. Before we let you go, we need to get your thoughts on City. I went and watched the finals, City was they did not play their best match. They did not play their best match, but they end up winning it's called the treble, right? Where you win all three, and they beat Inter. I got to see my guy Lukaku, who was considered the. People were not happy with him, and they have not been happy with him at Inter. But give us your thoughts on Man City and what they were able to do. Where does that stand from a soccer standpoint historically? Where does what Man City was able to do this year on all stages rank amongst the great teams?
Yeah, to put it in context, few teams have done this. Guardiola has now done it twice with City and Barcelona. He's the only man to do that. So you're in history with Celtic, Ajax. Inter had won it under Jose Mourinho, Barcelona, Manchester United. The context of their season, the quality of soccer that they played almost 98% or 99% of the time against teams defending deep, it was pretty remarkable. Really, it really was. Hey, listen, they could have lost that final. And Inter Milan, you know, almost did an Italian job on them for John. Yeah. And I think Inzaghi and the way he set his team up was pretty phenomenal, and his stock rises. But, I mean, this just seemed to be City's year. But, to watch this type of soccer played in small areas, it's almost like a half-court basketball game when teams play against them. And they have to carve things out. And they don't move away from the way they do it. It's all about style, substance, and winning. And that's what I think is pretty remarkable to me. So
and then,
to beat Manchester United, your rivals, and then 7 days later have to play in a Champions League final, pretty unbelievable.
But Erling Haaland, I mean, a young player with great size, tremendous score, 52 goals in 53 appearances this year. Just an absolute monster once the ball goes up. But well, he's a great striker in general, too. What should we look for from him in the upcoming years? Is this the guy that's going to start taking over the mantle as I don't know if he's – would you consider him the greatest player in the world right now? He's the best striker, but who's the greatest player in the world right now?
It's hard to look away from all the goals that he scores. I think the big thing that I've read about him and I've heard Guardiola quoted talking about is his intensity and his focus on the game, right? Doesn't seem to be a guy who's, you know, sticking a camera in front of his face. I mean, they say he just goes back to his apartment, and it's 100% focus on football. Now, his father was an ex-pro as well, so the ceiling is very, very high for him in a lot of other areas of the game, and he's still at 21. I mean, he's still in a very teachable place where additional things can be added to your game, so it's pretty scary.
21.
Wow.
Scored that many
goals.
Wow.
That's Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the foremost authority on soccer, maybe in the world. Maybe.
Maybe in the world, yeah.
Maybe in the world.
And golf, okay. By the way. And golf.
No. No, I'm not going to lie about you. I'm not going to, okay?
I was just tagging on to your line.
That's Glenn Davis. Hey, Glenn, as always, man, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging with us.
All right, John, Lance, thanks for having me on, always.
All right. Glenn Davis here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk about hoops, sporting goals, and equipment. It's ProDunk. ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com is the place where you go and you get the best goal that's ever been made, okay? The tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim. I mean, the kids can hang on that thing all day long. And you know what? It's going to be there for you. It's going to bounce right back. It just doesn't matter. Go to the website and see the pictures of the kids. That's all they want to do. They want to dunk that, so make sure that you get that one that lowers and raises. You can get the goal that's going to look perfect if you want to put it on the garage, you want to put it on the roof, whatever the case may be. They can mount it for you, or they've got a portable one as well. I got the permanent one that the insulation was unbelievable, and then you raise and lower the goal. That's the one the kids want. That's the one the kids love because you can dunk at five. You can lower it to 5 feet, and even little kids can enjoy it. So you got to get that goal, Dad. Mom wants it for the kids. They want to be outside. They want to play. They don't want to be on their video games all day long. Well, you got to go to ProDunk.com. The only place to get your goal, ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
The summer circuit rolls on from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Astros lose again last night. 4-1 was the final. They take 2 out of 3. They got the Reds in
town. Why'd you say lose again then? They took 2 out of 3.
Well, because they've been losing some lately, more than we're used to. Listen, I did not expect the Nationals to walk out of here with any wins. And actually, the Astros got a little bit of a break on the Jake Myers. And then they couldn't do anything offensively last night. That was awful. Mm-hmm. Finally, Yainer Diaz in the bottom of the ninth with 2 outs got a run home, but that was just awful last night. And that's not a good pitching staff. That's not a good team. And 2 out of 3 is fine, but you know you keep winning the series. If they win, they continue to win series. Then you'll be just fine. That was a little disappointing loss last night. Ryan Pressly came in, first batter he faces Ruiz, and Ruiz homers off of him. Brian McTaggart interviewed him afterwards, and Pressly said, it's a pitcher's pitch. He just went down and got it. It's frustrating. I do my job. We win. Just having a rough go at it right now. I think that's pretty accurate. Ryan Pressly has not been able to do his job lately, and he's really has it's hurt the team. Ryan Pressly, he absolutely has to get better. He has to be better. That extra inning game, he came in the studio, said, that's my fault. I do my job. We save the bullpen. The bullpen is pressed right now. The bullpen is not good. The bullpen has been giving it up of late. It's a lot better than it has shown lately. Here's Dusty Baker talking about Ryan Pressly giving up that home run in the ninth inning.
I thought he made a good pitch. I mean, sometimes the hitters just hit you. And, from my vantage point, it looked like he had a good pitch. And sometimes it's not always the pitcher's fault. Sometimes it gets you. And, that's what happened.
That is the case. It looked like it was low. He went down and got it, and he pulled it into the right field stands. Mm-hmm. And, sometimes that happens. Sometimes you're the nail, and sometimes you're the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the nail right there.
But
he's been the nail for the last few outings.
That's a concern.
Yeah.
And that's a concern. Right. That it's happened a little bit too much lately.
Yep. No question about that. And he's got to be better. If the Astros are going to be any good, that bullpen, which was one of the best bullpen runs in postseason history, has got to start living up to it. Montero's got to start living up to it. Abreu's been good. He doesn't look like the dominant Abreu that we saw in the postseason, but I think his ERA is under 2, which is nice, which is great. You know, fine. We saw him come in and, get a bases loaded situation. Remember that one where he got out of it, but nobody out, bases loaded, nobody out. That's the kind of dominant dude that we think Brian Abreu is. He hasn't really pitched to that. His whip isn't as good as we thought it would be. But listen, he's not giving up runs. But he's not as dominant as we had thought he was going to be. But Montero's been terrible. Neris has been fine.
The numbers for the in totality look pretty good.
Yeah.
Of late, it hasn't been good.
But no, not of late, and it doesn't feel the same right now. But of course, before the season, the last taste of the bullpen we got was an historic run by the bullpen in the postseason. So now, you know, you're seeing Montero's come back down to earth, which was always the concern. Not to belabor the point, but the concern was always, man, are you really going to do this kind of deal with Montero when this is kind of a little bit of a one-off situation? And he's like, is this really a three-year deal worth over $10 million a year? Is that really the deal you want to be giving out right now? And so now, you know, of course, it looks – I don't even think it's in hindsight. We talked about it at the time. Most Astros fans realize, this isn't Astros type of deal at all. Usually let these guys walk and go get another one. That's what it usually looks like. But so you're going to need some guys step up, and you're going to have some guys step up and play and start pitching a little bit better, especially as the issues with, you know, no Yordan. But I mentioned this earlier in the show, I just hate this excuse that, well, Yordan's not there, so they're going to struggle offensively. Man, we are so spoiled. Bregman, Pena, who was in the lineup yesterday, Altuve, Kyle Tucker, that's more than a lot of lineups have. You have four guys who are all-star players right there. Well, I mean, Jeremy Pena will be an all-star at some point. So he's a World Series MVP and ALCS MVP. You've got those four guys in the lineup. You should be able to produce some runs.
Yeah.
You should be able to produce some runs.
No, that was disappointing. There's no question about that, especially against that staff, especially against those guys. You got to, they got to be better. And you know what? They know that. I mean, this is not – this team – we've seen by now – I mean, we've seen other teams start – Astros teams start slow – by right now in the season, this is where they're usually in high gear and pulling away. We are so spoiled. This is about the time where the Astros are there's nobody in the division that has a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at a team that is, you know, second place in the division. This is highly unusual for us to be watching a team that is at times just meh. You know what? We're spoiled.
Okay. This is not – I can't let this pass. Is Ryan Pressly racist? First Fromber, now Christian Javier. Suspicious. It's not Art. He just got beat. He gave up some hits. It has nothing to do with Fromber or Christian Javier. Stop it.
He's not racist. He's not trying to lose the games for Hispanic pitchers. Mm-hmm. Okay? Stop. That is awful.
Although he wasn't going to get the win, Javier, yesterday anyway. They didn't score any runs for him.
No. No, it would have been Pressly who was in there would have gotten the win. Instead, he didn't get the loss. 713-780-3776. We got a pro caddy, Scott Sajanek, who's been on the show before and actually gave us a wonderful pick in Denny McCarthy before. He's out here at East River 9. We'll talk some golf with him coming up pretty soon right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we got Lance talking about Texas. I guess this is your patio?
Yeah.
This
Texas is about your custom patio. Yeah. It's good. Yeah, I was out yesterday taking some shots of it for a video we're going to do and turned the fire on. I don't know that you need a fire pit in this weather necessarily, but it looked really cool, and it's something that really is awesome to have on when it's cooler weather. And I've done this before, watch games out there. I turn the patio, turn the fire pit I have on, and then set chairs around it, had drinks with friends, and then watch games too. So it's pretty cool to have that out there. The kids have actually made s'mores. I don't know if you're supposed to on that one, but we did it. Of course, if I got a fire pit, I'm going to do it. They can help make your outdoor space. They can really turn it into an oasis for you, and I mean that. I mean, it may sound like a strong word, but that's what it is. When you have the outdoor kitchen, the big screen TV, the sound system in your gabled roof that's pitched up high, you got the two fans that are hanging down, blowing cool air on you, and then
you know, you've however you want it to look. You want a kitchen, you don't want a kitchen. You want a swimming pool, they do swimming pools. A pool house, they can do. From extremely large jobs that are like million-dollar jobs in these massive homes to smaller jobs like the one I initially had done, they are going to be right for you. Texas Custom Patios, if you're looking for something to add value to your life and value to your home, nobody does it better in the state. TexasCustomPatios.com.